So what a weird day going on here, right? 11th day. School strike just never ending. Lori Lightfoot talking. We're going to play some of the press conference that's going on right now. Look, kids need to be in school, end of the day, right? School year's way too long, period. Kids in Chicago, they're in school late into June. And it really just, at the end of the day, sucks when adults get in the way for what kids should be experiencing, especially in this platform. Now, I get it. Like, if I'm a kid, miss a couple of days of school, that's sweet. But that's clearly not the point. Here, let's pick up the press conference. Here's Lori Lightfoot, who is explaining, if you're just joining us, that there's a deal in place, but there's not a deal because the teacher union is demanding that they get the days back that they've been out on strike. And they're not going to be in school tomorrow, so that'll be the 11th day of the walkout. So they want those days back. They want the pay for the 11 days, which to me feels like a drop in the bucket when you have a new deal that's, you know, however many years it's going to be, 3-5 years. 11 days. Not great. I get it. It hurts the wallet a little bit, but don't you just want to move forward? But here's let's pick up more of the press conference.
We will push forward, and we will be back at the table with a goal of getting our students back in class as quickly as possible. Happy to take any questions.
Mary, is there criticism of not putting up strike cases that you're being punitive for the disease?
No.
They're saying. Can you address that?
I did address it. Jesse Sharkey came into my office, laid out 6 issues, and then told me, in response to my skepticism, that they would move the goalposts. He gave me his word. At some point, the negotiations have to end. We thought we understood every single issue that was on the table. They brought this issue up, not in front of me, not when they came down to talk to us, but they brought us up as another negotiating ploy, another attempt to move the goalpost. We've given them, hold on 1 second, please. We've given them a historic deal by any measure on compensation, dealing with the issues of class size, staffing, homelessness, sports. The list goes on and on. At some point, the negotiations have to end. Yes, sir.
These things are a non-starter. You're not willing to negotiate.
My understanding is the CTU has said 10 days or nothing. Take it or leave it. So hold on 1 second. So where we are right now is I'm not compensating them for days that they were out on strike. I've been very clear about that from day one. Yes, sir.
Did you do a fraction of those days that they...
I'm not going to negotiate. We gave them a deal on the table. They said these were the issues. We met them where they were. And that's it. Yes, ma'am.
Mayor, in the middle of all this are the children of Chicago and their parents. Question, don't they need to make up for these days, these 10 days that they have miss of school? And what is the plan so they don't get behind in their education if there is not going to be a compensation for 10 or 11 days or whatever this strike keeps going on?
Well, that's a good question. They will not need to make up these days. We have been in contact with the State Board of Elections, and I'll let Dr. Jackson speak to that. But look, harm's been done to our children. Make no mistake about it. This gives me no pleasure whatsoever. I've been in front of you many, many times this week, urging, practically begging the CTU to say yes, to take yes for an answer, because we've met them on every single issue that they had identified. And the fact that our children aren't back in school tomorrow is on them. We've done everything that we can. We've laid it all on the table. And when somebody comes to me and says, I give you my word, I expect, as anyone would, that means what it's intended to mean, which is that we have a deal, that all the issues that they laid out are the only issues. I don't know, Dr. Jackson, if you want to speak to the question.
Last question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You want to speak to the
only other thing I was going to say is about making up the days. I mean, the length of this strike is obviously very long, and in order to make up those days, we would be having to go into winter break, spring break, or extending the school year out further than it already has been extended. And so we are thinking about the parents, and we have heard from plenty of families that feel that that would further inconvenience them, and they've already been inconvenienced due to this long strike that we try to avert every step of the way.
Last question.
Yes, ma'am.
Stacey Gibbs has said that CTO has been meeting with the governor, Senate President Fullerton, and Madigan about the elected school board and changing their negotiations and that their ability for collective bargaining rights, and that they are supportive of that. Have you been part of those conversations?
I've had contact with all three of the individuals, the governor, Senate President, and Speaker. That's not my understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right, so there is the mayor with the press conference, and obviously extremely frustrated. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here if you want to weigh in on this. I'd love to hear from parents who have kids who are missing school. And so now you got kids that are in the middle here and have been for, now it will be 11 days tomorrow. And you have parents who, what are we supposed to do? My kid is supposed to be in school. I have to go to work. Am I going to call up my aunt, my sister, my mom, my grandpa, whoever, to make yet another day work? It's just painful, right? And the mayor, I feel the integrity, right? I think it's very clear. But it's also, you're now at wit's end, so you're negotiating during a press conference. You're negotiating with the media. You're trying to turn up the pressure by getting public sentiment on your side. Feels a little bit off to me, I'll be honest. And I know that the mayor herself, I'm sure, feels a ton of heat on her to get this done. And like, look! And she's calling out CTU President Jesse Sharkey. Here are the six things that we need. Okay, I'll meet you on all that. Oh, but now we also need the days back. No. That's not how it works. You went on strike. We're not giving you the days back. We're not going to eat into winter break, spring break. We're not going to extend the school year out. Not happening. Days off from school are built in. Snow days, etc., that can happen during the year. We're not making it up. And at the end of the day, like, okay, let's just think about this. If you took 10 days away from my fourth grade year at Ravinia School, would I still be a productive person in society? I think the answer to that is most likely yes. I mean, I don't want to make light of the situation, but if it was, you know, on the days that we were teaching the good stuff, then maybe, you know, of course, you know, I'd be missing out. But so at the end of the day, is this catastrophic for a student? No. But should they be missing 10 days of school? Of course not. Now, apparently the union voted 364 to 242 in favor of a tentative agreement that was offered by Mayor Lightfoot earlier this week. And that was according to sources. This reported in the Tribune with firsthand knowledge of the outcome. And then Union Vice President Stacey Davis Gates tweeted the union, quote, may have reached a monumental agreement and want to convene to suspend the strike. But now we're sitting here. I want my days back. And let's be honest, too. Is it really about the kids and getting the days back? Or is it about getting what will be the 11th day of payback, right? I don't think this is a education, I want to make sure my kid learned every last thing they can learn, versus I want the full pay for the year. And when you go out on strike, you know, sometimes, you know, risk-reward, right? Well, we might lose some days, but we're going to get a contract that we're going to be happy with. And it seems like they're getting more money, they're getting more prep time, they're getting a lot of more stuff. And I'm not trying to pick a side here, but it's, you know, when you listen to the mayor there, I do tend to side like, hey, look, if you're showing up and you're creating a, you're saying you're going to do one thing and then you do another, I get the frustration. Mark Harmon with you tonight. It's the Night Side as we start out with the heavy topic here that just keeps on going and going and going. We will have some fun on the show tonight. Martellus Bennett, one of my favorites, formerly of the Chicago Bears, now retired, won a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, is going to be on the show tonight. And also later tonight, my friend Bobby Weitz, Bobby Weitzman, has a song out. His father passed away in his mid-90s, and he was a World War II veteran. He was a bombardier. And, of course, if you've listened to me on the air here, you know that my dad fought in World War II as well. He was sent over on cleanup duty, so never actually saw combat, but he did serve in the war, and that generation is just a special generation. So Bobby did a song in honor of his father that we're going to play later tonight. I hope you'll be with us for that, and if not, just check out the podcast, because it really is. It's quite the tune, a little... You can feel it on the old purse strings. Michael Heidemann, how are you, sir? Good evening to you, my friend.
Mark, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Excellent night. A lot of action going on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get it going here. 312-981-7200. Marty's coming up in a little bit. And if you want to weigh in on the teacher strike, your thoughts, I'd love to hear it. 312-981-7200. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. World Series going on as well. The Astros trying to rally. If they do, we'll have a report from Houston coming up as well. It's the Night Side, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Mark Harmon with you. Till 1 o'clock tonight, they're going to the ninth in the World Series. Nationals 4, the Astros 2. Wow. Be the first time in the history of the World Series that a 7-game series would go with the home team not winning one game. We are starting out with the breaking news of the teacher strike, which just continues on and on and on. CPS formally canceled classes again. That was at 9:10 tonight as we move into the 11th day. I am encouraging CPS parents to check on in here, or, hey, students. If I was a kid, it'd be like a roller coaster. Are we going to school tomorrow? Are we going to school tomorrow? And then at 9 o'clock at night, hey, you're not. We're staying home. What are we going to do tomorrow, Mom, Dad? Well, here's a book you can read, or maybe we're going to go to, I don't know, we're going to go to the park in the rain, we're going to go to the gym, I don't know, what do you do? We're going to go to one of the facilities that is open for kids. Tough, very, very tough. Sean, welcome to WGN. Thanks for dialing in. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mark?
Great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just was listening to you, and this is a conversation that my wife and I have had over the past every 10 days. My kids are both CPS kids. My parents were public school teachers. My wife was a public school teacher and now works in about 15 different CPS schools. We are 100% behind the teachers, but the way this union thing is unfolding, it's disgusted us. And now we think we have a deal, and they want their 10 days of payback for striking for this. It blows our mind, and it conflicts us every day. We don't want to be against the teachers that we pass every morning, taking our kids into the facilities, you know, to sit in a classroom with somebody watching them. It's so conflicting.
Right. It's like nearly impossible to ever turn on a teacher. You have an incredibly important job. We all know that you're underpaid. We all know that it's not easy in an overcrowded classroom. And you have a myriad of challenges in front of you. But the way this is playing out, it's like, come on. There seems to be a level of greed that I think you, Sean, and other parents perhaps are not super comfortable with right now.
No, and then, you know, you said exactly, we want our teachers to be well compensated. I want teachers
so
to be
I.
the best we can get, and we have to compensate that for them. And the package the mayor offered them seemingly did it. I have to take she and the school board at her word. But then we hear you throwing in social issues like affordable housing and you know, all these political issues to try and gain seemingly clout for the union and their political. That's not what you're striking for, is it?
Right.
Is it you're striking because of your compensation, or are you striking because you want something else? And the more and more we hear, and the longer this goes on, it seems like something else.
Right.
As opposed to what it just...
Yep. What have you been doing with your kids, Sean, during this time?
They've been going to the school where they're at, and there's members of the school board that are there watching, along with, I think, some of the... I know the principal's there, and I know that there's some of the staff of the school that are not in the union that are there watching the kids, and they're in groups of about 20. It's been, as the strike's gone on, the groups have gotten bigger because I think parents have, you know, you can't pay for all the extra days of daycare and whatnot. So
hold on a second. You got 20 kids in a group sitting around discussing life?
They're in the gym. They're working on the Chromebooks that the school has. They watch a movie every day. Yeah, I mean, that's
okay.
It's organized daycare, but what can you do? You know what I mean?
You can't.
I don't know.
You can't. All right. Well, I appreciate that firsthand. Just exactly what's going on. Hang in there, Sean. Appreciate you checking in. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to jump on in here, 8:15 tonight, union delegates split on class size caps. The CTU president said he thinks we got all we could get. This is from the Tribune. One thing union delegates have been debating is whether they'll accept what's been offered on class size. Class size issue central one for the union bargain team. So there's a million different issues here. And it just seems like, at this point, you're trying to hit a home run or close to a home run on all of them, which on some level I respect. On another one, it's like, all right, let's get the best deal done that we can do and let's move forward. Let me get Joe in here, 312-981-7200, who wants to perhaps go at the mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, my comment is Lori Lightfoot was campaigning on, not on her watch. None of this would ever happen. She was going to take care of all this stuff. From what I'm hearing about this agreement, she gave in on basically every point. And this is going to be like such a boondoggle to all the taxpayers in the city of Chicago. This is a red herring, what she's doing now. She's trying to deflect all the criticism away from her when the details of the deals come out.
Okay, Joe. I mean, it seems to me that she's trying to make the best deal possible for both the teachers and for the city, and there isn't endless money to go around, so it's not an easy position. Would you at least grant that?
Yes, I absolutely would. Again, back to my main point, she would never, ever let this happen during her time. She ripped Rahm Emanuel backward and forward over this, and now she's in the same position, and she's given everything up in this deal and not got anything for the taxpayers of the city of Chicago.
Well, okay. We'll have to see exactly what the deal is and if that is actually true. But there is, look, once you get in the seat, it might become a little bit more more difficult than you think, right?
And so absolutely.
So she's learning on the job, and look, you're trying to get elected, and politicians say things all the time. I wouldn't you know, rake her over the coals for saying something that perhaps she, you know, was hopeful for, but in the end didn't turn out that way. So she's, I guess, learning some hard negotiating lessons right now. And clearly, and Joe, I appreciate the phone call, clearly her frustration is boiling over at this point, as she was, it was incredibly obvious in the press conference that we played here on WGN. A bunch of texts coming in. I'll get to some of those coming up after 10:30. Yes, we've been monitoring this all night long. David Jennings is going to update you with the news in 30 seconds. And just let's be all clear here. We are all rooting both sides for this to get done, have it be a great deal for the teachers, and have it be as good of a deal possible for the city. We know how many challenges there are in this town right now. We're not overflowing in money like many cities across this great land, and there's no real easy answers. Check the news right now. 720 WGN. Hope you had a great Wednesday. Big day in the wedding. Did the tasting. This is an experience I will never have again in my life, God willing. But it was fun today. You got to taste the beef, taste the fish, try an appetizer. Michael Heideman, big question for you. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a kale delicious salad or a burrata or a crab cake? Those are your options. Kale salad, burrata crab cake.
You really held your...
This is a first course situation.
You said a delicious kale salad.
I did. It was good.
But
it's a salad. Not to influence your thought process.
You can't go wrong with a crab cake. I do love those. Every time I see them, I'll go for them. So I'm going to go with crab cake myself.
The old crabby cake. Oh, boy. there is no wrong answer here.
Were those the only options that you had? Because I know that you're trying to narrow it
No, there was like 20 options. And those were the three that we picked to try. And then you got to pick one of those. Or say, you know what, we picked three terrible ones. We got to pick something else.
Mm-hmm.
These are some serious first world problems going on over here.
You go very healthy. I like this.
Well, that's for that, yes. We, of course, people like to, I don't know, we're not going to, we got Superdog coming in late at night for the non-health. God bless Superdog.
There we go.
My man. The Nationals just got another base knock with the bases loaded in the ninth inning. It's 6-2 Washington. My God, Adam Eaton, the former White Sox, with the last base hit. In the history of the World Series, this has never happened before. Seven-game series, the road team's going to win all seven games, minus a miracle from the Astros in the bottom of the ninth. And Houston was the best team in baseball all season long, and they're going to come up short, seemingly. Ain't easy to win in baseball, just is not easy. Bunch of texts here on the ongoing strike with the city and the teachers' union. Let's see here. From the 708, above and beyond teacher salaries, what else is involved in keeping a school open? When is it scheduled to be closed? Custodians, electricity, buses, cafeteria workers, security, crossing guards, etc. Maybe the cost of all this is why the mayor is hesitant to make up the days. I don't think it's that at all. I mean, maybe that's a part of it, a small part of it. But at this point, it seems like it's personal. Straight personal. We're having a negotiation. You are not coming correct. And I am going to draw a line in the sand, and I am not going to move. Period. End of story. You had these things that you wanted. We gave you all these things, and now you want something else. Another move of the goalpost. Not doing it. Maybe the mayor calms down and just decides, you know what, I just want to be done with this. I'll give you your last thing, and we can stand up here and we have a deal and move forward and take the learns. But she certainly wasn't willing to do that today, and we're going to day 11 tomorrow. 312-981-7200. Thanks for all the text coming in on the crab cake. Okay. A lot of crab cake fans out there. I got it. The salad, I think, was the most actually delicious thing that I tasted. But I don't know. People, you have a salad every day. Or you have a salad all the time. I don't think I can do that. Public opinion will turn on the teachers from this 10-day issue. Perfect chess move by Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Maybe so. But there's something gross about that she's making chess moves, if that's really what's going on. I think that was just pure frustration. And sure, trying to at least inform the public, like, look, get off my back. These people are lying, straight lying. I'm giving you everything that you wanted, and now you want more. And I told you at the start, we are not conceding on the days. I wasn't lying. Sometimes, though, you know, can't win them all, right? Okay, fine. Have your 11 days. Just be done with it. I mean, that's one thing. If I was talking, if the mayor walked in here right now and asked me my opinion, hey, are you done with this and we're done talking about it if you give them the 11 days? And actually, one text that came in was actually a great idea, I thought. You extend the school day in the beginning of the day by 15 minutes. You add on at the end, and that's how you make up the days. It's one way to do it. 312-981-7200. Lily wants the burrata. All right, Lily. I think the burrata is going to be the winner, Lily, if you want to come to the wedding. Let me get Louisa in here. Louisa, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey. I was thinking, why did they join the union? I thought the union supported them during strikes. They give people, I mean, you know, if you give to the union, then when you're on strike, the union gives you a dollar amount to keep the strike It's not you going during the strike.
Right. It's not a dollar for a dollar, though, here, Louisa. That's part of it.
Well, I mean, it's something, but, the, you know, but that's what they joined the union for, you know?
Right, right. So you're saying don't worry about the days. You're in the union. You'll get your get as much money possible back and just move forward. So you're basically with the mayor. Am I hearing that right, Louisa?
I'm saying that if you join the union, isn't that the contract you sign? It's like, you know, like when you go on strike, you're not going to get the full pay, but you're going to get something, and that was the agreement you made with the union. So why should you go to another source and get more? You know, it doesn't make sense.
Right. All right. I got you, Louisa.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
312-981-7200. My father is calling about the teacher strike. Is that what he's calling about? Really? Papa Fred?
Yes.
Welcome to WGN, Dad. How are you?
I'm fine. My point is this.
Yes.
Is that they made a final deal, and the teachers agreed to it.
Right.
And then now having agreed to it, they now add on something.
Right.
What would their position be if the city had done the same thing after agreeing to it? The city suddenly came along with something else that the teachers found objectionable.
You know.
So my point is that they made a deal. They should live with the deal. And that's it. And that's
right.
Okay,
Dad. No, hold on. Don't go running away here.
All right.
You of course went to Marshall High School back in the day, correct?
Yes.
So you not different times, but you were raised as a Chicago kid going to school in the city public schools, right?
Right.
And you went to DePaul University, correct?
Yes.
So you got all your education here. On some level, it's got to pain you that these kids are put in the middle. You've got a granddaughter, by the way, who's not been going to school.
That's correct, and I think it's so the thing should be settled. But so two sides are negotiating, and they come to a deal, and one side accepts the deal. One side offers the deal, final deal after negotiations. The other side accepts it, and then later on, I say, oh no. We accept it, but we only if we add on this thing. And I'm saying, what would the union's position be if the city was doing the same kind of thing, saying, okay, that thing we offered you, we want to add this or take this away.
Right.
They would be very, very angry.
So
my point is, the teachers agreed to a deal, and they should accept that deal.
How old are you, Dad?
Well, if I make it to December 16, I'll start 94.
What do you mean if? You're not going anywhere, Dad. Come on.
Okay, I'll stay.
So you'll be 94 December 16.
If you can guarantee it, I'll take it.
Well, I don't know if I could quite guarantee it, but I'm certainly rooting for it, Dad. Love you.
Okay.
Hold on. One last thing.
Go ahead.
One last thing. You know, you called in, so I'm not going to let you just run off because we don't get to talk to you all that often. You know, I'm having on a friend of mine later in the show here, whose father recently passed away. He was 95, and he fought in World War II, and he was a bombardier, and he sang a song for his dad. So when I listen to the song, Fred, it's honoring your generation. So I don't know if you'll be up later, but I think you should listen.
What was the name of the person?
That's a good question. Hey,
Okay.
I'll let you know offline, Papa Fred.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, have a good... you're doing fine. Bye. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're doing fine. Thanks, Dad. My father is one of those people. High integrity. You made a deal. You stick to the deal. You're going moving the goalposts here. And that's, I mean, it's obviously rubbed off on me because that's been my take all night. He's also like, how the hell are you on the radio in this city? They're letting you on for 3 hours by yourself. What are you going to do? Do you have any guess? What are you going to talk about? Do you know anything? You're not going to talk about Michael Jordan all night, are you? Appreciate the support, though, Dad. Thanks for calling. Love you. Matt, the Uber driver. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. So it's very simple. Yes, they are adding something else on, but shouldn't this be kind of just a mandatory thing? I know that they want to get paid for these days, but also these kids need 180 days, at least according to CPS. rule. So wouldn't the mayor in this case be in violation of the Chicago public school system's rules by not giving them these 10 days to make up?
Well, here, let me ask you this, Matt, and it shouldn't be necessarily what the kids want, but if you're a kid and the school year ends, it's like roughly June 21st, all right? And they say to you, hey, you're not done on June 21st. In fact, you're not done on June 30th. We're going to July 1st, 2nd this year because of the strike. And the camp that you were going to go to, or the family trip you were going to take, or just the time off period is out because of us. I mean, if you're a kid, are you signing up for that? Because and I get that it shouldn't necessarily be a 10-year-old or a 13-year-old's choice, but that sucks, man, right?
Yeah.
Or you don't have...
So here's my
no
way
winner,
of fixing that.
Go ahead.
You simply have the kids. I'm not saying miss Christmas, miss Thanksgiving, miss summer break, and spring break, but frankly, these kids have had 10... Look, as a child, I will tell you right now, if somebody took away part of my spring break, I would riot. If somebody took away part of my Christmas break, I would riot. But the thing is that you make it shorter. Yes, that's not as much time, but guess what? They had vacation days now. It wasn't strict vacation days, but they had vacation days. So shove it into Thanksgiving break, shove it into Christmas break, and if they need to, shove it into spring break, and then magically summer's going to be A-okay.
Okay.
And Mark, I think you're doing a bang-up job, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. You working tonight, or are you just hanging out?
No, I'm working tonight. I'm walking my dog right now, but then I'm going to go back out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm off at 1 if you want to
give me a ride. Thank Tom Scaling for the weather, please.
No problem. You got it. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
312-981-7200, Matt, the Uber driver, checking in. Yeah, okay. You could chop off some of winter break and spring break and a little bit of summer. And yes, they are getting days off, but these aren't like real days off. These kids are going, you just have 20 kids in a school who are sitting there going to the gym or whatever they're doing. And on their computers, trying to create some semblance of a school day. And you don't know if you're going to school the next day or not. They're deciding tonight at 9 o'clock. That's not fair to the kids. I mean, I almost feel like it's, you know, probably gives them a bunch of anxiety. Am I going to school tomorrow, Mom? No. What are you going to do? I don't know. We're going to drop. I mean, that's not right. I mean, come on, man. It's unfortunate. All right, quick timeout. At the top of the hour, Martellus Bennett. You're going to enjoy the conversation. The former Chicago Bear. Martellus is a fascinating guy. He's writing books. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it. We'll talk to him after 11, 720 WGN. World Series champs 2019 as they win Game 7, 6-2. What a wild series. You win the first two games on the road. You then go and lose all three at home, and you think you're done. You're going up against Justin Verlander in Game 6. You beat Verlander, who's been dynamite as an Astro, and as a Tiger before that, going to be in the Hall of Fame. And you win Game 7 on the road, 6-2. Wow. A lot of connections to Chicago here. Adam Eaton was a Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox signed him to a great deal, which allowed them to get Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez and Dane Dunning, which was a tremendous trade by Rick Hahn. But Adam Eaton just won a World Series tonight, so I guess the Nationals are happy with that deal. You just won the World Series. That's a win-win right there. And Davey Martinez is the manager. He was Joe Maddon's bench coach. He won a World Series with the Cubs in 2016. And the odds that Davey Martinez was going to win a World Series again before on another team, now with the Cubs, and Joe Maddon would be in Los Angeles managing the Angels, and David Ross would be the Cubs manager, no one was predicting that one. Wow. The Washington Nationals. They are also, as we go to Chicago connections, they're the first team to clinch a World Series at Minute Maid Park in Houston since... That's right, the 2005 Chicago White Sox, baby. Juan Uribe, little ground ball up the middle, over to Paul Konerko. Game, set, match. White Sox in four straight. That was back in the days when I was walking the steps, selling beer. Game two, Paul Konerko, the granny, in 35-degree, rainy, brutal weather. So there's another connection. And let's see here. Just a couple of other road teams have never won every game of the World Series. There's that. The youngest players with an RBI and a winner-take-all World Series. This is courtesy of Christopher Comco over at NBC Sports. Youngest players with an RBI in a winner-take-all World Series game. Mickey Mantle was 20 years old, 353 days in the 1952 World Series. And then tonight, Juan Soto, who's been phenomenal for the Nationals, 21 years old, 5 days. So think about that. You got to go back all the way to 52 to find somebody younger than Juan Soto coming through in a winner-take-all Game 7. The great Mickey Mantle. We're all over the World Series here. And I just want to say that wouldn't it be sweet to get another one in the city? We obviously would love it, love it, love it, love it, love it if it was the Chicago White Sox right here on 720 WGN, the home of your White Sox. But we'll take it on the other side, too. Let's go. That would be some good stuff. Yes, Michael Heidemann, you're looking like you want it. Okay. So Martellus Bennett is coming up here. A ton of people texting in about my father. Thank you very much. Your dad is on the ball. He's pretty cool. Thanks, 815-847. I'm with Mark's dad. If you're just joining us, my dad called in to basically yell at the teachers and tell them that, hey, you said this was the deal, and now you're trying to move the goalposts with Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And now people texting in about my idea that it's not a good solution with 15 minutes on each side of the day, does not work with child care, bus contracts, etc. Just trying to get creative somehow to not impact the kids and their time off. Winter break, spring break, summer break. I mean, come on. All right, let's do a quick timeout here. We got news coming up at the top. Everything you want to know about the teacher strike, Vic Vaughn will have that for you at 11 o'clock. And then Marty Bennett, one of my favorites, right after 11 on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Mark Carman with you tonight. Great to be here and great to bring in the former Chicago Bear, now retired, 32 years young, Martellus Bennett with us on 720 WGN. Marty, you're doing a ton of stuff. You're writing books and you're also trying to help guys transition from the playing field to the next part of their life. And even for those of us who don't play professional football, we tend to have to go through transitions in our career, so it really does apply to everyone. What's your coaching to someone who's put so much into one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know what, this is not going to work out, and you got to make a left turn? That is not easy.
Well, exactly. That's exactly it. I think the one thing I try to get people to realize is that as an athlete, your career is always almost over. It's almost always over. Like, it's, at any time, it could be over. So, therefore, you have to be prepared, right? And a lot of these guys, they prepare for games way better than they prepare for life. Like, they don't prepare for the game of life the way they prepare to play on Sundays or Saturdays, whatever sport they're playing. So, my whole thing is about, hey, try to plant seeds now and start watering them. You don't have to just dump a whole bucket of water on them, because that's not how plants grow, because then you drown the seed. But it's important to plant as many seeds as possible so that you can grow in many different ways as that's feasible for you as an individual. So I think most guys don't spend time planting seed. They so focus on the one seed that is growing so tall that, like any plant, when one plant outgrows another seed, it blocks the sunlight, so these other plants can't actually grow. And I learned that when guys leave the sport, there's a form of PTSD, and there's an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they like. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they're interested in. They don't know any of these things, but they have time now to discover those things. So instead of spending all your off-season just working out, playing video games, pick up an internship, pick up a book. Like, you give a guy a book and they act like you just did an exorcism on them. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, nah, dude, you should be reading. So if you think about, like, college, most of these guys have been pushed along and been celebrated for being an athlete, so you want to continue to do what you've been celebrated for. But, like, we're not – they're athletes first, students second for a lot of them, right? So they didn't really take school serious when they were playing, so how can they take self-education and further bettering themselves in whatever field it may be that is outside of sport when they never done it in their previous life? So I'd let them know that their life is just beginning. We, the few people, what we maximize, a lot of us maximize the potential of wealth in our early 20s, right? You retire 26, 27, 30, guys are retired even earlier now, but that's the average career is 3.5 years, so average lifespan is 77 years.
Martellus Bennett with us here on 720 WGN, the former Bears tight end. You just touched on something, Marty, that's very interesting. And there's a ton of talk this week about changing how athletes in college will get paid. They'll be able to benefit off their likeness. But there's not a lot of talk about how colleges push through young, talented athletes so they will get the maximum performance on the field and not care at all about what they do in the classroom. I mean, you went to Texas A&M. Were you pushed at all to actually get an education, or was it all about what you did on the field?
No athletes push to get their education. That's a lie. All they do is try to push the athlete to courses that allows them to pass classes so they can maximize their potential on the court. They're not trying to maximize the student. They're trying to maximize their time with the athlete. They recommend courses that don't take you from your... Like, there's not too many people who could use that free scholarship to become a doctor, because being a doctor requires them to be in class so much that the football obligations won't allow them to do so. So when you think about this education, it's not really... It's not every single... avenues is not really open for every single player, right? So
don't you think that's criminal or at least wrong?
I think we want to talk about ethics, but I really think that comes down to the human being. But then, you know, as a player, but most of these guys are young. They're shaping men, or these women, young women, they're shaping that have not fully developed and don't. All they really know is that their dream is to play the sport, but they don't really realize that only 1% of college athletes make it to the pros. You have a higher possibility of becoming a doctor than you do becoming an NFL player. But nobody wants to tell them that because they feel like dream killers. And when they're killing dreams, become being like, I don't know, you know, I'm a dreamer, so.
Martellus, I covered you in Chicago, and you had some great years with the Bears, and you won a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, and you cut a ton of balls, the Cowboys, the Giants, etc. And you were a productive player, no question. But whenever I was around you, just from my judgment, I never thought you really loved the game, playing football. Is that fair?
No, I love playing football. I like the game, like actual playing, but I didn't really like everything that came along with football. Like, I didn't really care for a bunch of stuff that came along with the game that had nothing to do with playing football. And that's the stuff I hated. Like, playing the game is fun. Stiff arming people, jumping over people, scoring touchdowns, flipping in the end zone, dancing with your teammates. All that stuff is fun. And beating yourself up is not fun, but the game was fun to play. But once it was no longer fun because of everything else that came with the game, that's when I decided to leave it.
I never
viewed myself as a football player.
When you say everything else, are we talking about practice? Are we talking about media? Where are we at?
I mean, I didn't mind practice, the part where we actually practice against one another, but I'm just talking about, like, coaches and them trying to act like they're your dad and all that stuff. You know, it's just kind of like, I'm a grown man, or I got kids at home, you know, like, you know, like, what's going on here, coach, really? You know what I'm saying? So, but I never, for me, football would never be able to fulfill me like it does some people, right? It was never going to be the most fulfilling thing that I did in my life, and I always understood that. But I wanted to enjoy the moment while I had it.
Which coach was trying to be most authoritative dad-like? Was that Belichick?
I don't think that Belichick tried to be anybody, daddy. I think he's the one that avoided all of that. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I played for so many teams, so many coaches. There's a lot of them. So, but at this point, it don't really matter. So who cares?
Where was your favorite stop then? Where did you enjoy yourself the most?
I enjoyed a lot of places for different reasons. I enjoyed the structure in the Patriots winning Super Bowl. One of my favorite teams to ever play for, though, was the Giants. They had the best I mean, it was just a really good organization, like a great place to play as a player. Chicago was fun. Like, I had my best career years in Chicago, so that was fun. So all of them, as I look back at it, when I was in it, a lot of times I just, you know, you can hate somewhere, but we look back at it like, man, you know, those were some really good times there.
Well, speaking of Chicago, if you saw Jay Cutler across the street, are you crossing over to shake his hand, or are you going to put your head down and keep walking?
No, nah, hell no. Nah. I call Jay. I like Jay. Jay's funny. I mean, I think Jay's, I would definitely go talk to Jay. He's my partner, and he's one of the professors. He's one of the other professors.
Is that right?
His business, yeah. Jay Cutler is one of the other professors.
Okay.
We're both teaching now. Imagine that. You get a class from Martellus Bennett or Jay Cutler.
Yeah, no, I'm picking Martellus all day on that. Not to...
He's highly intelligent, though. He's a really intelligent guy.
Well, maybe I'm a little biased, but I'm going 83 over 6, especially if I'm going to class. But neither here nor there, not trying to dog Jay. Hey, Martellus, could you play physically right now? I mean, you're 32. There's a lot of guys in the NFL who are your age that are, you know, still doing it.
Yeah, I'm in great shape. I feel good. You know, I'll be doing a CEO workout, so which is just wake up like at 4:30 in the morning, get on a vertical climber for like 30 minutes, do some push-ups and sit-ups, and call it a day. Put some laps with my jewelry on, you know, that kind of thing.
But if somebody called you up, would you be interested?
No. People call. I'm just not interested in playing football.
Interesting.
But the reward would be for me to do that. Just my life right now is so much more rewarding than football could ever be. And I kind of feel like I've been missed what I thought was a rewarding life. Really wasn't. And the work I do creatively now is the most rewarding and fulfilling thing I could possibly ever do. And it makes me so happy.
Well, it sounds like you did it right. 32 years old, you had some fun, you made some money, got a couple dollars in the pocket, and you found exactly what you want to do right now with your life. That's a win all around, as far as I can tell.
I am. I played the game correctly.
Tell us what the new book is again.
My next book is called Little Brown Girl, Dreamcatcher. My previous book is called Dear Black Boy, which is doing well. You can get that on Amazon or ImaginationAgency.com right now. Check that out. Make sure you support. And my next book that's coming out. And then my Revenge of the Jocks book for transitioning athletes. It's the escape plan for athletes.
What's in the Brown Girl book? What are you trying to get accomplished?
The idea that they can catch any dream that they have is possible. Like anything that they dream and who they are is as wonderful, and who they want to become as possible.
Who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
I mean, honestly, I don't think any team's that great. Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of like, if you watch the games, I think it's still up in the air. I think it's gonna be a surprise team, actually. Honestly,
you want to throw one out there?
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's just gonna be one of those teams. Like, I did not see this coming. It's gonna be one of those movies, like a movie with a great twist. I think it's gonna be like that this season.
Okay.
You got your Patriots, who are always a favorite. I mean, they're 8-0, but have they had true competition? You got your 49ers, you know, right now, who are doing very well. Kansas City took a hit, losing the quarterback. Seattle's really good, you know, but who's going to come out of that? Seattle and 49ers, that's going to be really cool. I mean, I just took the Vikings. Like, there's, like, teams that, like, the Packers, you know, the NFC. The NFC is usually the stronger division. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there.
How in the world did you guys come back from 28-3 down in the Super Bowl to beat Atlanta?
Honestly, I think the most important thing is we just did our job. Now it sounds crazy, but our whole point of view is like, hey, don't worry about it. Don't look at anybody else or what anyone else is doing. If you could do your job for the rest of this game, the best of your ability, we could come out victorious. And that's what we did. Like, half the time, if I wasn't running a route, I didn't even know who caught the ball. I was just like, what happened? What happened? Because I was so focused on doing my job. When most games you play, you kind of looking down the field, seeing what's happening. But I was so focused on my task at hand that I didn't even know half of the plays that happened. Because all I remember, like, oh, I was blocked on this play and or ran my route as hard as I could, you know. And that was pretty much it. Like, I just remember me. I don't remember everything else that everyone else was doing during the game. I can just remember exactly what was happening to me. That's how locked in I was.
That's awesome. Who was?
I don't think everybody was like that.
Who was leading the way more that day? Is that a Brady thing? Is that a Belichick thing? How did that happen?
The most interesting thing is, like, when we got to the locker room, no one said anything. There was no rah-rah speeches. Belichick didn't say anything. The only thing I remember was that Julie Edelman, before we went back out after the after halftime, Julie Edelman was like, well, boys, we got 30 minutes to make history. And we went out and made history.
It's incredible. Martellus, great work today. Dos Equis, the professor, all of it. Great to talk to you. And look forward to catching up down the line and seeing everything you're doing, what you're putting out into the world. You're doing great work, man. It's always good to catch up.
Thank you, man. My new album's coming out soon, too. It's called Martellus, The Corporate Experience.
I mean,
The Corporate Experience is my band.
I just want to, you know, I don't know, go on like a 5-day, just let me hang out in the same area as you and just watch everything you do. You got so
you
much.
Should. You should come by one day.
Where are you living now?
I'm in Hollywood.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
I mean, I moved to Hollywood, but I didn't go Hollywood.
You didn't have to go Hollywood. You've always been Hollywood in some way. Let's be honest.
But man, great, man. Great talking to you.
Martellus Bennett, one of my favorites. I love that guy, and I loved him when he was here. And the one part of that interview where I was asking him about whether he liked football, he would be walking through the locker room in the middle of a practice week and just not feeling it. Oh, my body's killing me. I'm like, you're the only football player that I've ever been around that actually walked like you were just in pain and was not enjoying the experience of being a professional football player. But you went out and had an incredible career and made a bunch of dough and is now moving on with his life. I hope you like the conversation there. One of the Chicago public school teachers, excuse me, I think is going to join us when we come on back here, as he will not be going back to work tomorrow as day 11 of the strike. But that was our conversation with Marty. And there's some other football stuff that's breaking in New York that we'll get to as well coming back here. It's 720 WGN. We'll talk to my buddy Doug North in 2 minutes here. Teacher at Curry High School, been teaching in the Chicago public school system for 14 years, been at Curry for 4 years. Doug's a great guy and is going to miss his 11th straight day tomorrow and has been out doing some picketing and doing whatever he can. Teaches social studies and law and sociology. Does a bunch of stuff. And so we'll talk to Doug in a second. But following up on the Martellus Bennett interview, there was a story that crossed today about New York, the state, and they're considering banning youth tackle football. Growing concerns, head injuries. And there's legislation proposed by the Bronx Assemblyman Michael Benedetto, who is seeking to end tackle football for children 10 or 12 and younger. And I'm bringing it up because this is going to come here. It's not just New York. They would be the third state to do it. Massachusetts has done it. New Jersey has done it. And for all you out there who are worried that football is going to go away, it's not going away. Maybe changing a little bit and maybe less kids playing. But we don't need 10-year-olds running into each other with helmets and cracking and going to the ground. You can run around and let's play some flag football and learn the game that way. I think I'm absolutely on board. And if you want to choose to play tackle football when you get over 12 years old, go for it. I'm not trying to make people live their life in bubble wrap. Let me bring in Doug North, though, our Chicago public school teacher for the second time, Dougie. I thought this thing was going to be over, but you're still out there, my friend.
Yeah, still out there, and I thought it was going to be over a lot sooner than it's supposed to be.
So, what was your reaction to the mayor stepping up tonight? She's negotiating a little bit in the media here, Doug.
Well, I mean, it's typical. It's how things go, right? I mean, the mayor and the mayor's office know what they know, and the public knows what they know. It's a game of chess. That's just what it is. And unless you're in the meetings with the mayor and with the CTU, all you're going to hear is what the media tells you to hear. It's a long process. It's an important process. And Democracy is messy but necessary. People don't realize that it's a process, and it's an important process because it involves the youth of this city and it involves those that are working with the youth exclusively, that's in front of them every day. It's important work that has long-lasting effects beyond people's understanding of what they think school is or what they think is going on with contracts.
Mr. Doug North, teacher at Curry, with us here on 720 WGN. Are you trusting in the leadership that you're getting here as far as the negotiations, Doug?
With my union and my team?
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. We elected them to be there. Again, it's the democratic process, and we can elect another group to represent us, but we choose the group that's there negotiating with the mayor and her office.
Well, just so people are clear, because we had some conversation about this earlier, because you're in the union, are you still getting paid for the days that you're missing or a portion of the pay? How does that work?
No, we don't get paid at all. We are having to deal with the whatever savings that we have, and we have to make ends meet until we're back at work and until we hit our next paycheck cycle.
So where are you then at as far as replacing the 11 days? Is that a sticking point for you personally?
For me personally, it's something that should be talked about and should be negotiated as, because it's 11 days of instruction. It's 11 days that teachers aren't being compensated. So there, that has to be worked out in negotiation. To what point? I'm not sure. And that's not something that I've thought about completely, just given the fact that everything has happened so soon.
And, just to pull the curtain back a little here, a lot of teachers have multiple jobs, and you're one of those people, Doug. You've been working at Wrigley Field for, mm-hmm. 20 years now. So for you, you work in the summertime. It's almost an inconvenience if you're still in school, right? And it's the same thing for the kids who are trying to make summer plans, too. There's no real easy answers here.
Yeah, there really isn't. There really is. I mean, and that's the whole thing. The mayor's had CTU's proposals for 10 months. And, once the strike happened, it seems like that's when she and her team decided to look at the proposals. That's not how, business is run. That's not how people manage their lives. It's just, when you have something important and big, it's a process. You plan through it. You schedule meetings, right, so on and so forth. It's just not a, hey, I forgot this was happening, or I had to, this was on the back burner because I had other important things going on. That's the part that surprises me and a lot of people, that it took this amount of time for the city to look at the proposals. It took this amount of time to be on strike. It just doesn't make sense, because you have the youth of Chicago and their well-being on the line in a lot of ways, as you have 30,000 CPS staff in their lives and their families in situations that are pretty hard, but there's a bigger purpose here, and that's why I'm talking to you about this, and others that are involved, that are stakeholders, have said this is important, this is what needs to happen, and we're not moving until certain things happen.
Are you worried about public perception at all? Doug North was with us here, teacher at Curry High School. I mean, some parents are calling up, and like the last thing anybody ever wants to be is against a teacher, but then there are some parents who are sitting there, please just get back in school and take whatever deal is there.
Well, first, I have a son who's in preschool in the Chicago Public School, so I fully understand that parent's point of view, because I am that parent, and I am struggling with, having my son at home and my daughter, who's very young as well, not school aged yet, but it's a very big concern on that level. And of course, emotions are high. Of course, you want your children to be in school. Of course, you want all that to happen. Of course, emotions come up, and who do you blame? And that's, I think, the perception is, if the kids aren't in school, that's bad, right? But what about when the kids are in school? What's happening while they're in school? And people seem to not care or not take the time, because they trust their teachers, they trust their schools, and life goes on, right? So it's a hard question, but, you know, in regards to where we're at right now, it's an important one. Perception is important, and that's just, that's the messiness of democracy. That's the messiness of the situation. You know, what needs to get done? How do we get it? How do we get it done? And why did it get here in the first place? You know, and how does it not happen again? Those are important questions. And I think, you know, if we do it right this time, you know, we can prevent, you know, a strike from happening again in the future, you know, and I think that involves all the stakeholders, teachers, students, parents, so on and so forth, you know?
Yep. Hey, fingers crossed, Doug. I hope you guys are back, obviously not tomorrow, but the next day. And thanks for sharing. We're going to got to jump to a news break here. But second time you've been on, and I really appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Anything for you, Mark. You're great. Appreciate you.
You're the best. Doug North, teacher at Curry High School, jumping on here. And there you have it. I mean, he's got a kid that's missing class too, so he's on both sides of it. I appreciate him sharing. And yes, I guess as he put it too, democracy is messy, certainly at times. 720 WGN, Mark Carmen with you. 11:34. The Washington Nationals won the World Series. Seriously, are there any Nationals fans out there? If they were the Expos, if you're an Expos fan, you're not a Nationals fan. You're still pissed that they're not in Montreal, right? And then D.C., you're an Oriole fan. And I know their stadium's filled up and people wear red and whatnot, but it don't just bothers me. It's kind of like when the Marlins won the World Series. The Cubs hadn't won for 7,000 years, and you lose to the Marlins in the NLCS in 03. It's like, there's 7 fans that root for the Marlins. These people have been suffering for their entire lives. Now, the Astros did win the World Series a couple of years ago, so I'm not feeling bad for Houston fans, but I don't know. Washington Nationals, get out of here. There is one Astro fan that I sort of feel bad for. Not really, because I guess he's got enough dough to cover it. But his name is Jim Mattress Mack Mackingvale. You familiar with this guy there, Michael Heinemann?
I have never heard of this mattress man.
Okay. Let me tell you about Jimmy Mattress Mack Mackingvale. 68 years old. He's made a ton of money in the furniture business. Guy loves selling the nice, beautiful queen-size bed. And so he did a promotion that if the Astros won the World Series and you bought a bed from him, he was going to make all the beds free. So he had huge liability. So what does he do to try to minimize his liability? He bet $13 million on the Astros to win the World Series. He would have profited about $25 million with all the odds. Like, they're down 2-0. He's betting on them. He was trying to hedge his bets. Put $13 million on the line. To make 25 and to scratch, basically.
He's putting Mike Lindell from MyPillow to shame with that bet.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. So, but the thing is that, you know, he's trying to hedge the bets. Well, they didn't win. So, he just lost all that dough. Now, granted, I mean, he makes money when the mattresses get sold. So, on that promotion, if you buy a mattress from him, you know, people are betting on the Astros winning. The Astros are going to win. I'm going to have this free mattress. So, he did make some dough there. And he says he'll do it again. But that's crazy. He placed more than 12 million wagers in the Astros in casinos in Mississippi, New Jersey, and Las Vegas. It was a single $3.5 million wager that was the largest in Mississippi sports history. He bet on October 1st at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Dude's literally traveling around the country making bets. People live different lives, man.
Yeah, this is what he does for fun.
Yeah, he founded Gallery Furniture, which has grown into a $200 million in sales per year business. So, I mean, we don't have to cry for this gentleman who can afford betting $13 million.
Estimated net worth $70
million. $70 million. No big. But, well, okay, $70 million, though. You just lost $13 million of your $70 million. That's a significant chunk, man. Let's say you got, you know, 70,000 net worth and you lose 13,000. That's different. I get it.
It's a huge.
I mean, yeah. 57 going from 70 to 57,000 is not, but from going from 70 to, what is that, 57 million?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm no, I don't know what it's like to have $57 million in the bank. You're probably fine.
Unfathomable. Mm-hmm.
But that's not nothing.
That's a lot of mattresses, as they say in the biz.
Yeah. In October, the Mattress Mag has flown into Mississippi. He flew in three different times. First visit, he met Luann Pappas, the CEO of the Scarlet Pearl Casino. This man's a crazy man. But rough night for him. Now, on the other side of the coin, Bud Light Man is simply amazing.
I saw this story. Mm-hmm.
So he's a Washington Nationals fan. He's at the game in the bleachers in Washington, and he's holding two Bud Lights, double fisting in the bleachers. Left hand, right hand. And he allows the baseball to hit him basically in the chest while he's holding both beers, because he doesn't want to drop the beer. He blocks the home run ball. He puts down his beer, and he picks up the baseball. Now, that is an athlete. You watching the highlight over there? I could see you enjoying it.
I'm watching. The Bud Light is running a small online ad right
and,
now.
And so Bud Light, the guy's name is Jeff Adams. Ball hits him in the torso. He's holding his Bud Light cans. And Bud Light's like, this guy is sweet. We got to do something for him. So they make a commercial of the guy with the video of him blocking the ball. And then they fly him to Houston and put him in the bleachers in left field. They get him a World Series ticket.
Wow.
Now, this is a guy that clearly had no idea that he was going to go viral and get free World Series tickets and have a commercial made out of him. He was just trying to protect his Bud Light, which, by the way, for the record, is an awful beer. Right? Does anybody even like Bud Light?
That's what we call making a Corona out of a Bud Light.
Right.
Like, he's really making lemons, or lemonade out of those lemons. And he really gets pegged hard in the chest.
I mean, he gets cracked. He didn't want to drop his beer. 312-981-7200, by the way. Favorite, I don't know. Like something bad that you love, like Bud Light. Like, I think objectively, it's just not good. But whatever, you love your Bud Light.
The commercial reads, "Not all heroes wear capes."
Right.
And then it's just him getting pegged or beamed with this ball, holding both of his beers. Two tall boys.
Yeah. That's a great effort. And honestly, maybe the baseball gods were like, you know what? If their fans are willing to go to that level to take a baseball in the torso to protect the beer and root for their team, maybe we just got to make this one go the way of the Nationals, who had never won a World Series.
Very true.
And now have, and I think almost fittingly, Bryce Harper, who was there for a long time. Signs for huge money with the Phillies. Never got it done there. And now he's got to watch all his teammates celebrate, which that can't be fun. All right. Halloween is tomorrow. We're going to come back with some costumes coming on back here. And then don't miss in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to play a song in tribute to a man who passed away in his 90s and really a tribute to everyone of that generation, the greatest generation, contributed so much to this country. So a lot to do here as we take you up to 1 o'clock on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Tomorrow is Halloween. I would like to hear from Halloween experts right now. This is important. 312-981-7200. I have Lou Malnati's to give you for the best proper A, costume, and B, almost more importantly, what candy should you have to give away to the trick-or-treaters? Now, this is huge. How do you properly respect somebody that's actually going to come up to your door? How do you give love to that 5, 6, 8, 9, 10-year-old who really wants the Kit Kat, but maybe would be better off with the Snickers and is sweet with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and then all of a sudden you come up on some house and they've got the apple slices, which is creepy and not legal, but somehow, like, you know, they just have it in a, maybe in a dried fruit packaged way. Here you go, little Billy. Here's some apple slices. They're way healthier for you. No! No. Unacceptable. We need straight sugar. And I also have a recommendation for parents out there. This is your opportunity to be a child, too. When your kids come home tomorrow night, after they're trick-or-treating, going around the neighborhood, assuming you're letting your kids go out, I hope you are, you do need to institute a candy tax. You have to make them dump out all their goodies, and then you take, just like the government, half, roughly, 40%.
That's fair.
Right? 312-981-7200. Now, I'd like to hear what people are going as. I'd like to hear what you're giving away. And I'd also like to hear from people who just will not open the door. Like, I live in a high rise, so I can't really, I don't know. I need some creative ideas. They got a bowl of Snickers in the front area. That's no fun. Like, I want to talk to the kids. My favorite as a young Mark Harmon growing up in rough and tumble Highland Park, you could literally go to Michael Jordan's house. You would pull up or walk up, whatever, and Mike's not answering the door, but, or very rarely, but he would hand you, go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac on MJ. Now, how sweet is that? That's a great gift. How about the family? Now, and listen, if money is an object here, then you know, don't be going broke trying to give kids candy. But if you can afford it, if you give the full Snickers bar and not the miniature, you are a straight hero. A full bar, I mean, that's big time. And I also think you have an opportunity, you know, make the kids earn it. Trick or treat. What'd you learn today at school? Assuming you're not a Chicago public school kid who's not going to school. What'd you learn at school today? Who's your favorite athlete? What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, ask questions. Make them earn the candy. Don't just give it away. And maybe you have two things. If they answer the questions well, you give them like the A gift. Or B, you stick them with like the Three Musketeers, which I don't know how those are still in business. All right. 312-981-7200. It's Halloween tomorrow. This is a very important day. We need to come correct. We're impacting our youth. Opportunity to teach some lessons. A lot going on here. Parents, you should be dressing up to. Let me get Carrie in here. Carrie, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Hey, great show. First of all, the interview with Marcellus was great.
Thanks, Carrie.
As far as I would go for, actually, they're hard to find, but if you can find little Heath bars, those are great.
I do love a Heath bar. Underrated.
Yeah, those are really good.
Sticks in the teeth deliciously. It's like a recurring snack. I love it.
Absolutely. My thing is, though, what you should not give away, and I don't think it's, like you said, the apple slices, that's what brought to my mind. When I was a kid, a lot of people gave away homemade popcorn balls, which, ooh, were disgusting, And we wouldn't eat them. We would just throw them at each other, pelt each other in the heads on our way home from trick-or-treating. I don't know if that still goes on, but when I was a kid, a lot of people gave those away. They would make them, and they were sweet. It was like marshmallows and popcorn, and they'd roll them up in these wrappers, and it was absolutely disgusting.
See, that actually sounds delicious to me, Kerry. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, too.
That sounds like a Rice Krispies treat on steroids. It wasn't good, though.
Kind of, but
not for you.
I don't. Oh, not for me. No, we usually just pelted each other in the heads with them. So.
but that's a win too. Are you going out tomorrow, Kerry? You got yourself to take care of, or a family out there?
No, we're just gonna hang out and wait for trick or treaters to come. We got big bowls of candy, so we're just waiting for them to come. We got a mix. We got some Snickers bars. And some,
there you go. The one seed.
We're good to go.
He's just going to be pelting people from his doorstep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Actually, now I'm off. I might make some popcorn balls. Not you much.
Kerry, thanks for kicking us off, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mark. All take right. Bye bye.
312-981-7200. Halloween is tomorrow. It's very important. Celebrity costumes. The whole thing's going on here. Best casual Halloween. Heidi Klum going as Heidi Klum?
Very original this year.
I mean,
how many hours of makeup does she need for that?
Quite a few, apparently. If we're going like popular people, why not go as Snoop Dogg? Wouldn't that be fun? Just bust out the Snoop.
Well, after January 1st, I think a lot of people will be going as Snoop Dogg year-round.
There we go, baby. It's coming to a city street near you. The Wacky Tabacky. Kurt, welcome to WGN. What's your costume, Kurt?
Well, good evening. I'm actually, my wife and I are going, we're big Disney fans, and we're doing the Ratatouille look, including my chef hat on top. If you know the movie, there's a mouse that actually hides up there, and I have a silhouette of the rat, basically. And have lights inside there, so he comes through at night, and it's in such a way that if I move my head, it looks like he's moving slightly. So we're doing the Ratatouille look this time.
Sounds slightly terrifying, Kurt.
Hey, it's Halloween. What do you want, right?
Do you think when you and your wife get dressed up in Halloween costumes, it perhaps sparks a little something, Kurt?
You know, spark is what's led us for 28 years of marriage, so you got to keep it going at all times.
Yeah, there you go, Kurt. See? Halloween's a great opportunity to sort of keep it going, isn't it?
It is, and I agree, too. I remember the old popcorn balls scared me quite a bit back in the day, and there was even usually colored popcorn balls, so you weren't even sure what it really was made out of. Those were kind of scary. We'll be doing the Twix bars. Those seem to do rather well.
Can't go wrong with Twix, no doubt.
No, the popcorn balls, and then they also had those, I don't know what they were actually made of, because I would never eat them. They were orange, and then they were black paper-covered candies that were hard. And I remember seeing those as a kid, and those just went right in the trash can. You couldn't even trade with those in school. No one wanted those.
They're called Mary Janes.
No. Give me a good Twix. Give me a good Three Musketeers.
See,
some sort of a bar, even an M&M, little small pack with approximately like six M&Ms in them. I'll take that over that.
Yeah. Kurt, appreciate the phone call. That actually brings us to peanut allergies. It's a big problem here in the old candy world. Can't go M&M peanut anymore. Right, Bob? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Mark. You know the answer. I was going to quiz you on this. I talked to my friend in Highland Park this evening.
Yeah?
Your hometown.
That's it, bud.
She got a notice.
Yeah?
No Snickers bars?
Oh,
no Reese's peanut butter cups because of just what you said, peanut allergies.
You know what? If you've got peanut allergies, I'm sorry. That's terrible. You're missing out on some of life's greatest joys. But let's not ruin it for all the other kids here. There is no doubt in any rational candy lover's mind that the Snickers bar and the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup are 1 and 1A. You can debate which one is 1 and which one is 1A, but there's no other bar that can even jump in there. And I will take you on right now, 312-981-7200, if you want to debate that. But don't be throwing out some Three Musketeers that just doesn't have the dynamic presence of a Snickers. Right?
I agree,
Bob.
And I think Nick DiGilio the other night had the top-rated candies. Reese's was number one, and I think Snickers was number three.
Interesting. What was number two?
I can't remember. All I remember is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Snickers. That's good enough, man.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
That is,
both
Bob.
Number one and 1A, like you said.
Hey, Bob, you're the man. I'm up against the breaker. Thanks for checking in. Joe, I got 20 seconds, but I want to get you in here since you called. Go ahead, man.
Oh, just killing me. Everything there. I bet you number two is probably a Milky Way. You can't go wrong with that either, but Three Musketeers suck. But either way.
You're right, man.
The sports guys, if you're so lucky to live in a place. Now, this was when the players didn't make anything, and don't kill me. I grew up in St. Louis. There was an apartment complex, and it had all the old Blues players in the 70s. Bob Plager, Barkley Plager, Red Berenson, and we'd go to their doors, and they'd be answering and giving out candy. It was heaven as a kid.
Yeah, Joe, great stuff, man. That if you have an athlete around you, you got to take advantage of that. Real fast, the top 10 costumes this year. Spider-Man, a classic. It? I don't know what It is. The Descendants. That's a cool look. Fortnite, a clown. Clown's real creepy. The 19th, go with an 80s look, go with Chucky. Yeah, get creative and make your own costume is my own personal. If you make your own costume, you're way cooler than buying something for 20 bucks at your local costume store. All right, news coming up, 720 WGN. We have reached the official moment of Halloween, team. What a great holiday. Who doesn't love Halloween, man? Getting a text here, a bunch of texts coming in on the candy. I think it's funny that you, with no children, have such a strong opinion about Halloween. Let me tell you a little story here as we sit down with Carm. Halloween stories, all right? Maybe this is why it means so much to me. When I was a young man, growing up again in Rough and Tumble Highland Park, where we didn't have the 10-man landscaping crew. We only had the 4-man. And sometimes I actually had to mow the lawn myself. And we didn't have the glass backboard. We had the wood backboard. And we didn't have the live-in. We only had someone who came to help out cleaning the house once a week. It was tough on my side of the street. But Halloween was a different story. I went to Hebrew school. The great Bethel. Learning about the Almighty. Connecting with my spirituality at a young age. And I had absolutely no interest in that. Zip, not a zero. Hebrew school met on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Halloween fell on a Tuesday night. Now, most parents, they said, son or daughter, God wants you to go out and trick-or-treat. You do not have to go to Hebrew school tonight. But no, no, no. Not in the Carmen family. Gladys and Fred Carmen. You, young Mark, are going to Hebrew school. But Mom, but Dad, the only person that's going to be there is the teacher and Mark Silverman. Not the Mark Silverman on the radio, a different Mark Silverman. Please don't make me go. Let me be with my friends. Let me go get that Kit Kat. Let me get after that Nestle Crunch. Let me make a move on a Snickers. Nope, you're going. So there I was, in the classroom, looking out the window as my friends came running around the school and TP the Hebrew school. Carmen! Carmen! As I looked up at Mrs. Newland, please let me out of here. Can I go home now? No, let's work on your half Torah. Baruch atah Adonai. So maybe that's it, man. That's why. Who makes their kid go to Miss Halloween to go to Hebrew school? So for all the kids out there, there's no homework tomorrow night. There is no nothing other than going out with your friends and having a good time. If anybody wants to feel sorry for me, I'd love to get some sympathy. 312-981-7200. Thank you.
That was beautiful, Mark.
Thank you.
That was. What a touching story. I feel so sad that you couldn't try the Nestle Crunches. Not even a Skittle. A single Skittle.
Right. I mean, and our friend Patricia, who texted in about me not caring, said, I apologize. I had no idea the trauma that you experienced in your youth. Bless your heart. Thank you, Patricia. I mean, come on. Your kid should be out there for Halloween. I was at Hebrew school with Mark Silverman. His dad was, I think, a rabbi. Or if not, he was right there. Let's see here. My son is dressing as the plague doctor and will be giving out Snickers and Milky Ways. That's Margaret in Bridgeport. You go, Margaret. I'm proud of you. Maybe I'll come over and try to find you in Bridgeport. I might just go walking around tonight. Seriously. What else do I have to do?
Well, are you going to at least dress up? Are you just going to go as the Carm?
I'll just go as the Carm. I'll wear my On the Mark sweatshirt.
The Twitter bird on your shirt.
Feel free to check out my podcast, On the Mark, with yours truly, Mark Carmen, available on iTunes and everywhere else you get your podcasts, Spotify, whatever.
You're just going to go as a podcast host?
Why not? Just go as a podcast host.
Probably a popular... was that on the list? Maybe it's probably like number 11
or something. I don't think a podcast host made it. I love this text from the 8. Where are you coming in here from? From the 847. Reese's all the way, but no funny business. And she sent in a picture of her two dogs who are sitting on her couch with their little mat and three bags of Reese's. That's awesome. Now that is, I mean, if I came back as a dog, which wouldn't be completely terrible. Run around, eat, sleep, hang out. I'd love to be your dog. Have some Reese's. That's awesome. Let's see here. 608 can't go wrong with a bag of Jolly Ranchers. Yes, you can. Jolly Ranchers?
That's the closest thing to like old Werther's Originals that you can find.
Yeah, and like we have a gentleman at WGN who I love, the most honest integrity tremendous person, Art Nasseri. But if you walk by his desk where he's got the candy, he's got Jolly Ranchers out there.
And he loves them.
And he's had them for 10 years because nobody ever goes over there and takes the Jolly Rancher. We got candy all over this place, but nobody takes his Jolly Ranchers. Adam Phillips probably just walked into someone's office and took a piece of candy, but he would never take anything from Art. My guy, Adam Phillips. Go Cats. See if the Wildcats get a win this week. Whatchamacallits. That's a great text, 815. Underrated the Whatchamacallit. I don't know if people still eat the Whatchamacallit, but the Whatchamacallit was a great bar. And a brilliant name, too. My wife is dressing up as a pumpkin, and I'm going to be Peter Pumpkin Eater. Okay, you, buddy. I should not have said
that. That was a nice one. Snuck in on us.
Yeah, you caught me there, buddy. I'll leave the rest of the imagination to you.
They're just like fairy tales.
I don't know if I want to go. Yeah. My 10-year-old wants to go to tennis practice instead of trick-or-treating. Now that is interesting, 630. Because I love tennis. And I love a kid who's super motivated and actually wants to be a great tennis player. So if the 10-year-old is really focused on going to tennis practice versus trick-or-treating, I think you got to support that, right?
Yeah, maybe he can go as a young Carm.
I mean, I don't see why you can't do both. What do you, tennis practice doesn't have to have be 5 hours. Why can't we go to tennis practice for a couple of hours? Let's say it's from 7 to 9 at night. You don't want to eat the candy beforehand. You don't want to go too late for trick-or-treating. This is a challenge. I think you go early. You do the trick-or-treating in the afternoon. You eat none of the candy. Then you go to tennis practice. You work hard at tennis practice, and you come home and you have your Snickers bar. That's my plan for you, sir.
I would love to meet that 10-year-old, the most disciplined 10-year-old on the planet.
Hey, sounds like the next Rafa Nadal. Roger Federer right there. Way to go. Squat texting. And I don't, Fred, I think Fred went to bed. And I don't think he remembers making me not allowing me to go to Halloween and sit there with Mark Silverman.
It was for your own good.
Was it? I mean, I do appreciate at the end of the day that my parents wanted me to have some form of spirituality in my life and teach me about the Jewish culture,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. But come on, man. Let a kid go to Halloween.
You get a lot of them, though. And they're very rare because you have a very short window. It's like from when you're a kid and then a steep fall off when you're 14 years old. And then it turns into just pillowcases and fake masks.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
815 texting in, I hate Halloween. How do you... Is it because people are showing up to your door that you don't want there? Is that the reason? Please respond. I'd like to know why you really hate it. And then, hold on, I lost one text that I wanted to read, but it sounded like they have the greatest... Oh, here we go. We always let the kids choose the candy, regular size bars. We also have airline bottles of booze for the parents to choose from.
Come on!
To help them get through it. Now that is amazing. You are incredible, whoever you are.
What?
Here's a little thing of Jack Daniels to take on your way, Mom and Dad, and there's a full Snickers bar for your son. However you've lived your life to get to that point, I'm proud of you. That's amazing.
Most popular person on the block, for sure.
Yes, or other parents are going to be super jealous. The Smiths down the block are giving out alcohol. That's not legal. Somebody's calling up and saying that, right? Did you see that? They gave out vodka. That's awesome. But I don't. Is it really bad for parents to go through trick-or-treating? I feel like it's fun. Get your kid dressed up. They're in a good mood. They walk up. They say trick-or-treat. I don't know. It seems like fun. Squat, what's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, whatever happened to the old tennis coaching career?
You know, it's a great question, Squad. And for those who are not listening to me as regularly as you on the air, and I appreciate you, by the way, Squad. I had an offer to be a tennis coach on the collegiate level, and it just, at this point, Squad, I just didn't think I could fit it into the old schedule. But that job is actually still out there. Now you're making me rethink it. But what I've done is, well, hold on. What I've tried to do is get one of my good friends in there to take it, and maybe I could be his assistant for real. But that's still up in the air.
Well, good luck with that. my true dream for you was to really want to know how the ball retriever was going. I thought you had... Yeah, you had the tennis player on or something. I thought it would have been a good in.
Yeah.
You know, like the U.S. Open, or you say Wimbledon or something. I mean, that was your true dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's another one of my dreams, is to be a ball boy at the U.S. Open. And Squad, I mean, right now you're teeing up a skill gap here. I mean, I've got great ideas, but I'm not following through. I haven't made it to the U.S. Open to try out. That and why this summer should be the summer for that. But I put it out there. I say I want to do it, and then I don't go and follow through. That's on me, man.
I think that's something you got to write down in your calendar, and that's something you got to do for yourself, buddy.
You're right. You're right, Squat.
Your bucket list has to decrease a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have the bucket list, but then what's the point if you're not going to go for your bucket list? Let's go. Let's get out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope for you, man.
Squat, you're the man. Appreciate you, brother.
I hope you have a great wedding.
Thanks, man.
Hey,
before you go for the first course, do you want the burrata, the crab cake, or the kale salad with like the little nuts in there? It's actually delicious.
I love a kale salad. I'm not going as far as Dave Emmett, but what's the burrata again?
So it's a like a little soft ball of cheese. It's delicious, and then there's some different little sauces around it, and there's comes with a little toast that you can put it on there. And
oh, okay,
yeah. One of those.
I got to go kale salad. If you got some good additions, a good accoutrements to it with it, you know the cranberries or what else?
Yeah, no, it's like there's some nuts on there, and there's I don't know. There's hold on. A
Squat
second.
Is making a good case for the kale salad.
Yeah, let me read the exact menu for you here, Squat. This is important.
The thing is, you don't have to go as far as Dave Bennett. I think his sandwich is kale wrapped in a big leaf of kale.
Okay.
Sliver of onion.
You know, Squat, I heard that Dave is actually giving out kale for the Halloween candy.
It's a shave.
I think that's what he decided to go with.
It's a shaved black kale and Brussels sprouts, toasted Marcona alums, a 4-year Gouda, and a mustard vinaigrette. That's your kale salad.
The you hit me at Brussels sprouts. You're out. I'm in, man. 40 Brussels sprouts right in front of me. Done.
But what about the local farm burrata cheese and acorn squash with a black plum jam, a frisée, and a pancetta?
Well, how many people are going to this wedding?
I don't know. Well, too many, Squat.
If you go with the burrata, then you're going to force people to be conscious of their pinky fingers and stuff, and you don't want that far, I don't think.
I don't know. I think you could be conscious with the pinky fingers with the kale, too. But the other one is the Peaky Toe Crab Cake, a celery root remoulade with a Dijon Sauvignon and a fresh herb salad.
I tell you what, that sounds good, too. You're talking to a 350-pound guy here. I don't turn much away.
Right. See, me neither, Squad, and I'm not 350. I eat it all, too. We got the...
Man, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Squat's going to wait for the super dog at the end of the night, I think.
Squat, you're we got that coming in, too. We're not messing around here.
Okay.
That's the only good thing I've done in this wedding is getting the super dog.
Just one thing I got to ask you.
Yeah.
I texted you before about the maybe one of your listeners can go to your wedding.
I didn't see that, Squat. Who?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you want to come?
Make a game out of it.
Game out of that. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Chelsea won't buy it, but maybe $100 to a charity of your choice and
come to my wedding.
You got to do some vetting.
Let me get the official numbers in here, Squat, and then we can consider. Okay. How about that?
I appreciate it. Yeah. That'd be a good idea, but just a thought.
Be good, Squad. I'm gonna get to a break. Be listening after 12:30. It's gonna be my guy Bobby Weitzberg's gonna be on here. It's gonna be it's solid. All right.
Okay. Hey, I don't shut you off.
Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Squad's my guy. 312-981-7200. Ah, that was fun. All right, quick timeout. And yes, Bobby's coming up with a song. It's rare that I'll play music on the show, but this one's worth playing, and we'll talk to Bobby as to how we put this thing together coming up after 12:30, 720 WGN. Don't know who this is, and I'm a little terrified, but happy Halloween to one and all. What do you got playing in there, Michael Heidemann?
This is a listener request for the Shags, It's Halloween.
Oh, I did see that making the way through the text line.
Looks like it's a group of sisters, same haircut, probably from the 1950s or something, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Maybe a new classic.
Well, we're here to serve. Mm-hmm. You request a song, we're more than happy to play it for you. That's what we'll do. Hey, just if you're just checking in, I guess, just one more time. The Washington Nationals won the World Series. Which makes me think that literally anyone could have won the World Series this year. The Nationals, nobody was picking them. They came out of nowhere. They had five. They were down by five. They were down in five separate elimination games, is what I'm trying to say. There was an elimination game. They lose the game. The series is over. Their season is over. They trailed in five of those games. They were down tonight. And they won all five of them. That's ridiculous. Here's some history for you. October 26, 2005. Who won the World Series that year? That would be the Chicago White Sox. The Astros lose to the White Sox. The winning run scored in that game by anyone? 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 That'd be Willie Harris.
Mm.
Willie Harris scored the lone run in Game 4 when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005. The Astros lose tonight at home. The winning run given up by Will Harris. From Willie to Will. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Baseball gods are out there, man, I tell you. The Seattle Mariners now are left alone as the Washington Nationals have won a World Series. The Mariners have not. But the Mariners do continue to share the record with the Nationals for fewest home wins in the World Series, as the Nationals did not win a home game. There's another one for you. And my last one from today. As all these just very random stats. The Nationals' Patrick Corbin is the first pitcher to toss at least three innings of shutout baseball in relief with at least one strikeout per inning. Well, again, Patrick Corbin, first pitcher to throw three innings of shutout baseball in relief with one strikeout per inning in Game 7 of the World Series. He pitched three innings, struck out one guy in each inning. You got to go back to Walter Johnson, October 10th, 1924. Why am I telling you this right now? I'm not exactly certain, but it's just been a very weird night in the baseball world with the Nationals taking the World Series. 720 WGN, Mark Harmon with you tonight, and I've been looking forward to this part of the show all day long. My friend Bobby Weitzman, who I played softball with for many years, he's an incredible talent, great second baseman, knows how to take the ball the other way, and he's also a man who has some musical talent, and we're going to play a song coming up here. And I believe the song is What They Had to Do, if that is the name of it. Bobby, welcome to WGN. Is that correct? Is that the name?
Thanks, Mark, and you're much too kind. Yeah, that is the name of the song. It's What They Had to Do. It's a song that my brother and I wrote last year after our father passed away. He was 95 years old. He was a World War II veteran, and he was just our hero. And the way we came up with that, by the way, my brother wrote the lyrics to the song, the very meaningful lyrics, and I wrote the music, recorded it, and we wanted to show the heroics of what my father did, and we would ask him, Dad, how could you have done the things that he did? And he said, we did what we had to do. And once my brother started writing these lyrics about my father, we realized that it not only applied to my dad, but it applied to everyone of that generation, Mark. You know, they're considered the greatest generation, and basically that's what the song is about. It's about that generation that put their lives on the line so we could be free today.
And so, you know, you reached out to me for this, Bobby, and I listened to the song, and it relates to me and it relates to a ton of people, but like for me, you know, I've got a 93-year-old dad. He fought in World War II. He wasn't a bombardier like your father, but he had gone to flight school. And by the time that he ended up going over, the war was over and he was on cleanup duty. And so he never actually flew and did what your father did. But the way you're describing the generation is exactly right. You know, nowadays, as far as like career, what do you want to do? What's your dream? Da 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 da. You came out of the Depression. That was not the deal at all. How am I going to make a living? How am I going to provide for my family? And as far as the war was concerned, it wasn't anything other than how are we going to survive as a country? I mean, it's just a different time.
You're absolutely right. He was 19 years old when we got into the war, and everybody just went down and enlisted. They were just all, you know, very gung-ho, and they just wouldn't take anything for granted, and they wouldn't take no for an answer. It's something that is a lost history lesson, and I hope that talk about my song, What They Had to Do. I created a video this year pertaining to that, and the video is very striking. And in the last 10 days, I've had over 1,300 views, and people are telling me that it should be taught in schools to show people what our forefathers had to do, what our grandfathers had to do, what our aunts and uncles had to do, and they just did what they had to do. Up until now, Mark, and I really, really want to thank you, and I appreciate you giving me time, and I appreciate you watching my video, and I appreciate you getting it out in the airwaves, because this is something that up until now, a handful of people, basically my family and friends, have seen it. And now, you know, with your help, possibly many, many more people will see it and realize what they did have to go through and what kind of people they are. And we are what we are today because of them.
Well, let's be honest. Now that it's been on 720 WGN with me, Bobby, this is going to go worldwide, and you're not going to know what to do. And MTV, if that still exists, and ESPN and CBS, ABC, and they're all going to be calling tomorrow. So I don't know what your day is looked like, but I hope you cleared it out.
Well, it's clear, Mark, and you're going to be first in line right there with me, I hope.
No, but it is my pleasure in all seriousness. And if people want to watch it, like we're going to play the song coming up here, but if they want to watch it, you can go to Facebook, and the song is posted under Bobby Wheatz, W-E-E-T-Z, and you don't have to be friends with Bobby on Facebook. You can just view the song. So that's one way to do it. And go
Mark,
ahead.
I not to interrupt you, I also wanted to mention, if anybody wanted to get in touch with me, I can provide an email.
Okay. Feel free. Go ahead.
Okay. Email address is jackflash11@AOL.com.
Yeah, and it's on the post. You don't have to write that down if you have Facebook. It's on Bobby Wheatz's post, jackflash11@AOL.com. I love that you still use AOL. You've got mail, Bobby.
I'll let my daughter Stacy talk to you about that.
Oh, okay. Hey, before you go here, what was your favorite thing about your father?
My favorite thing about my father is that's a good question. He was a very humble person for the person that he was. He was a very smart. He was a very intelligent person. And he didn't lose his temper very much, but he got his point across. He was a very honest person. He was a very, very family-oriented person. He was a businessman. I don't know if you remember, we used to advertise on the Leadoff Man. He used to be part of the Danley Lumber Company, Danley Garage World.
Of course.
Business. He started it. He is the Lee of the Danley. Bentley.
I'm trying to remember the Danley commercial. What did it say? What was the slogan? There had to be. I remember the TruLink fence. If you're going to hit it over a fence, hit it over a TruLink fence. Danley Garages. I remember that too.
Right, Danley Garages on the leadoff man. WGN was very, very, very good to my father, and he reciprocated. But I would say literally the best thing about him was his honesty and his love for his family.
Right.
He was very lucky to have lived a very long life and to have many grandchildren, but he also had had some great grandchildren, which is very rare these days.
Well, I never met your dad, Bobby, but I've met you many times and played some ball with you, and I know the spirit that you bring to the table. So
yes, we have.
Yeah, so, you know, tip of the cap, cheers to your dad on a tremendous son that he raised and who I feel privileged to know. And I'm thrilled that you reached out to me, and I hope people enjoy the song that we're about to play, because I think they absolutely will. So thank you to your dad for his service and outside of his service, just, you know, bringing some amazing people into the world, along with your mother as well.
Yes. Thanks, Mark. I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
All right, here we go. The song is What They Had to Do. Hope you enjoy.
He was barely 19 in December 41 when the radio said the unthinkable had come. So he and his buddies, they all got in line with the rest of the country. Now is the time. Retaliation for all the devastation. Payback for Pearl. Protect our nation. World War II, Uncle Sam wants you. Let's go fight for the red, white, and blue. He was part of the heart of the greatest generation. To say they saved the world, well, that's no exaggeration. They were stoic, so heroic. Yeah, we know it's true. Though they'd always say they just did what they had to do. Training to become a bombardier. Never flew in a plane, I was flying with fear. Hitting those targets from 10,000 feet. Mastering Norton where the crosshairs meet. September 44, the Army Air Corps sent him off to war in a B-24. His combat crew was finally ready for the lucky strike and the king of the heavy. He was heart of the greatest generation. To say they saved the world, well, that's no exaggeration. They were stoic, so heroic. Yeah, we know it's true. Though they always say they just did what they had to do. In the South Pacific, one of them could have been quite horrific. Bombs away, but a live one stayed, ready to explode in the bomb bay. Out on the catwalk, 9 inches wide, he and two of his crew got the bomb outside. A defining moment for his family on the street of courage with Al and Lee. When I hear that star-spangled banner, I put my hand over my heart. I sing in a respectful manner. And whenever we get to the part with the rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in air, I think without him we wouldn't be here. He was part of the heart
stoic, so heroic. We know it's true, though he'd always say he just did what he had to do. He was part of the heart of the greatest generation.
Song, right? I love it because it just honors an incredible group of people. Different time, man. So, Bobby, thanks for sharing, man. It was my pleasure to play that. I really appreciate it. And that was the song. And Michael Heidemann, you're a musician. What do you think?
I thought it was great. Yeah, really catchy. And there's something about a person who you can tell when they are putting their heart into the lyrics of a song. And, hey, to capture all that in 1 3-minute song, pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know that was the beautiful part about it, right? You wanted to sing a song to honor your dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. All right, come on back. We'll wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did right there, 720 WGN. Well, Tom Petty, I need to know. Ah, yeah. It's a good one. Hey, thanks for all the texts on coming in on the song, and particularly your comment, Patricia. What a wonderful song. I'm so glad that I got to hear it. I wish more people were still like the greatest generation. I am so proud to be an American. I'm like choked up with this song. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to try to get through the rest of the show, Michael Heidemann. Yeah. A lot of divisiveness going on right now, right? And people on one side and on the other side and all that stuff. And it's just exhausting. And then you rewind back to that era and just different times. Not that everybody was getting along perfectly. Let's not, I wasn't there, but I'm assuming that there, people had their differences then as they do now. But different. A lot different.
Mm-hmm.
So, Donald was in town today. Was it today or was it yesterday? I think it was today. So many signs.
Mm-hmm.
People just holding up, wanting to crush the guy. And I'm not a fan, but I'm not walking out to make some sign. And it's just not interested, man.
The thought of doing that, to put like, that much work, you're working on it overnight, you're taking time out of your day, you need to buy the pens just to, spread some kind of
Go
message.
Out and vote. Go out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Proactive change is what you need to see.
Even at the World Series in D.C., he shows up at the game, and they just torched him. I'm not trying to create sympathy for him either, by the way, but it was uncomfortable, and you can see his face is just getting bothered by it. It's like, man, I don't know. I'd love to just a little bit more classes, I guess, is what I'm calling for. When you go back to World War II, that was a total head down generation.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, you want to be a football star? Be a football star? What are you talking about? I needed to make money. My dad didn't have a job. It was the Great Depression. He had to go away with called the CCC back then. Which was a government program where they would provide work somewhere, but you weren't working from home. So if he was going to go away and his dad wasn't going to be back for a while, you're a little kid and you're seeing your dad go off because there's no money.
Think about it. The United States is a purely agrarian society, when people were still farming, that was the number one job you could get, was as a farmer on the field.
So different. So different. And, you know, my father's mother was a seamstress. You know, she's got no education. They're trying to scrape by as best as they could. And that's not that she wasn't an intelligent person. This is different. I do worry, too. I mean, we're living in a very overall just wealthy period in the history of this country. You go out on the town on a Monday night in Chicago right now, restaurants are full,
mm-hmm.
clubs are hopping, Ubers are flying around. I mean, people have money,
mm-hmm.
and they're spending it and they're enjoying it. And it does scare me. Like, what? There's just a lot of stuff out there from, and I don't want to make the show super heavy at the end, but, you know, there's a lot of people who have it really good nowadays. Now, people have debt and all that type of stuff, but from what I can tell, and it's not everywhere, but there is just a lot of people living well. And you think back to World War II, I'm 18. There's this guy, Hitler, over there. We have the world's under attack. I'm going to go over and fight. I'm going to be a bombardier. And by the way, some of my friends are not going to come home. You know, and some did. Like, Bobby's dad did, and my dad did. But whenever he, you know, talks about those who didn't, it still hits him.
And the wild thing, Mark, when you're listening to these stories and you try to equate it to real life, the thought of how young these soldiers were in World War II is
crazy.
Just crazy, because you are 18. I know in the movies, everyone's older, they're in their 30s and everything, but in real life, these guys are 18 to 23, and that's like the heart of the U.S. military.
I mean, at 18, I was a straight clown. Straight clown.
Yeah, I don't even want to.
Just a complete idiot.
Yeah.
I mean,
coming out of high school.
I mean, I wasn't a bad guy or anything, but I was watching Michael Jordan. I had a mullet for a haircut. I had no idea what anything, literally anything.
Mm-hmm. Fighting for the country was not on your.
Fighting for the country was not docket. What I was doing. Mm-hmm. No. All right, I'm going to wrap up with something fun here. Walmart. Go Walmart. They're adding alcohol delivery to stores in Florida and California. Michael printed this out for me. So, you can literally be at home in Florida and California, dial up Walmart and say, can you hook me up with a 12-pack of Miller High Life, or will you bring over the Natty Light, or can we get some Jägermeister over here, and they'll do it. The retail giant also revealed it's adding alcohol pickup service in Florida, California, and Texas, making the online order service available in 2,000 stores in 29 states. They'll deliver alcohol to your door, which I guess on some level you're not driving around, but I don't know if this is a really good idea. Yeah, we really want to make it that much easier for people to get drunk.
You know, if there's anything I've learned from news stories in Florida, is that bringing alcohol to their doors will not help any situation. Florida man will be on the crawl with that, literally on the crawl with Walmart bringing booze to his door. And I'm talking about just the crazy stories that come out from Florida. Yeah.
Use the pickup service a customer places an order online, then drives to the designated Walmart where an employee loads the booze into his or her vehicle. Some of that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Wow, either. This is like Uber almost. Uber.
Right. You don't even have to get out of your car. Delivery service works the same way, except the alcohol is delivered right to the door.
Hmm. Not in Illinois, though.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. There has to be a limit, too. I mean, I'm not trying to be a square here.
I mean, they're
but...
not. Is Walmart not selling guns anymore? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, no more guns.
So we got to figure out a way to, I guess, make up for the income here. No more guns. Well, let's
straight to booze.
Let's deliver alcohol. Let's do that. That's a good idea. Bobby's texting me that his phone is going nuts and he appreciates it. So thank you for listening late at night and Bobby's enjoying it. All right. Thanks again to Martellus Bennett, who jumped on the show tonight. I love Marty Soros Rex and everything he did on the field, but more importantly, what he's doing off the field now. So it's fun to talk to him. To Bobby as well, Michael Heidemann producing tonight. If you missed our interview yesterday, I had David Ross on the show, the new Cubs skipper. That is available at WGNRadio.com. I'm assuming that did get posted. Indeed it did. So we had Rossi on the show last night, the new Cubs skipper. Congratulations to the Washington Nationals, who are your World Series champs. Pretty amazing. First time they ever do it, and they don't win one single damn home game. Two on the road to start it, and the last two games, 6 and 7, coming back from 3-2 down to get her done. And a moment of silence for my Chicago Bulls. 5 games in, we're already 1-4. You're losing to the Cavs on the road. Come on, man.